Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Today, in my heart, it's so deep in my heart to pastor you and to shepherd you. Pastors teach the word of God, but they also have a calling to help lead people, like the scripture says in Psalms, beside still waters. And the waters are pretty troubled right now. And with all my heart, I believe God can help us to actually hear his voice, follow him, no matter what's going on around us. I think it's a fair thing to say that our nation is in desperate trouble. Back in May last year, I shared with you many times since, as particularly when I came back in the fall from our sabbatical, that I believe the Holy Spirit showed me that the nation would be, in a sense, on fire. And after the election, it appeared that, wow, it looks like, okay, maybe it's not going to be as bad as I saw it in my heart. But, you know, many years ago, well, I guess almost 28 years ago now, Michelle and I were missionaries in Africa. We lived in South Africa. Now, at the time we were there, it was when apartheid was actually ending, and the nation was in civil war. And I have to tell you that what I feel in our nation is what I felt then. And what I want to encourage you to understand is we are in a time when it is critical that God's people know how to be God's people. Because if our nation ever needed you to follow God now, I'm telling you, right now is the time. It's critical. And it's not only that our nation is in difficulty and in distress and desperation, but I see so many of God's people trapped in things that are not going to bring value, not to you and not to the issues. And so our nation right now is in such a place that it is a tinderbox in the middle of a forest fire. And anarchy over the past 10 months fostered for political gains. And now it's like once you get that thing out of the box, it's like, how do I put it back in? There is no hope in this world from any human being. If God doesn't help the nation, this nation is already on a death spiral. And this isn't because of the election. This has been long before that. But how many of you know God is merciful? And there is a move of his spirit on right now in the earth. And he's going to use you and see God do great things in this nation. You know, when I was a kid, I had this vivid imagination. And when I was a kid, I loved the Superman television show. And there's something about Superman. So, you know, I would go get a towel and try to wrap it around your neck. And I flew all over the world rescuing people as a little kid. And it felt cool and normal, and just because your imagination as a kid. And so, you know, everybody has it in them to be Superman. Now, back then, there was no Superwoman because, you know, they didn't do, you know, people. But we do have Marvel movies now. And I'd love that. He said, what are all the Marvel characters? I can't figure them all out. And there's a bunch of them. But God has drilled it into the makeup of every human being. And here's why, what I'm about to tell you, because you're made in his likeness and in his image. He's drilled it into your heart to be the person that comes and rescues the day. He's put it in your heart to be able to put on, if you will, a Superman's cape. It's why the Marvel movies have grossed worldwide over $22.5 billion. It's not because they're that good, because they're not. Some of them are fun. And my daughter, Sienna, watches them. She kind of knows all of them. And when she's home, she'll say, Dad, do you want to watch a Marvel movie with me? It's like, yes, I want to watch a movie with you. Whatever she watches, I don't care. I'm in the room with her. And there's like 50 different characters, men, women. I mean, you say, if I were a Marvel character, I would be an Italian food eating character with superpowers to find the best Italian food. So that's not a gift. It is when you're hungry. It's not a superpower. If you've ever eaten some of the food in the Italian world, it feels like a superpower. But as a kid, it was in me. Can I tell you that it's in every human being? It's why $22.5 billion have been spent watching it. It speaks to something in everybody's soul that I want to go and I want something that's horrible to be fixed. Every person, I don't care what your political view is, whether you love God, don't love God, ignore God, deny God, whatever you do, God made human beings, those that know him and those that don't, in his image. And that image of God burns in man to have this rescue come out of our hearts. Now, here's what happened, though, when everything went bad in the Marvel movies and with Superman. That's when everybody hides. Everybody just kind of goes and they wait for Superman to come and save the day. And that's what people are doing today, except they're not hiding, they're fighting. And my hope today is to help you see what you honestly are called to do and equipped to do as a Christian to be able to step into this impossible situation that we find ourselves in our nation. You know, when I was a kid, wearing that cape felt normal and fun, but I got one today too. So I just want, just so you know, I just got to let me find my cape here. If there was Amazon when I was a kid, ooh, baby. Say, would you have gone on it and spent your parents' money? Uh-huh. Yep. Got in trouble, yeah, but I'm telling you, that would have been hard, boy. I'm just telling you, that would have been a very difficult thing. Let me get my cape on now. Yeah, baby, Superman, come on. Yeah, baby, I'm going to put on my Superman cape. Yeah, one click on Amazon Prime, baby. That rascal was here in a day. Yeah, I didn't bring a towel or anything. Yeah, just messes with my neck so I can feel like I'm wearing a tie again. I don't know. Hey, just so you know, whoever came up with the tie thing, that was evil. Just so you know, somebody did that who had no concept of comfort. But that's another subject for another day. But every Christian is called to wear a cape. Now, you could feel kind of crazy, you know, like an adult wearing a cape. You think you're Superman. No, no, no. Listen to me, please. When I was a kid, wearing the cape felt normal because of imagination. Today, it feels weird because it's kind of silly. But the truth of it is, it's actually real today. You actually do have a superpower. And you actually are called to come and rescue the day. You actually are to put on a cape. No, not this one. And by the way, this one is not an S, it's a P for prayer. Yeah, it's a good thing. I want to talk to you about it today. Prayer is putting on Superman's cape. And when you talk about prayer, usually people do this. Yeah, that's okay, good. Yeah, prayer's so important. So important. Do you do it? No, but it's extremely important. Because people don't know why they should pray. And if I thought about prayer in the manner in which most do, which is not biblical, I wouldn't want to pray at all. Because here's the reality. I've had people in some form or fashion ask me this question through the years over and over and over and over again, is if God's in control of everything that happens and everything that happens on the earth is God's plan, why do I need to pray? I mean, really, I mean, is he forgetful? Do I need to, you know, get the Cranberry campus and the Newcastle campus and all the online folks and let's just keep telling God what we want because, you know, God's old and he's forgetful. See, the premise that everything that happens on the earth is the will of God is not true. Not everything that happens is in God's plan. No, I believe God's in total control. Well, if God was in total control, you'd be nice. Can't you feel the presence of Jesus in the room? No, God's will. God gave us, we're made in his likeness and image, and he gave us free will. Within the power of free will is the power to choose evil. And that evil doesn't come from the kingdom of God. Yet for so many of God's people, they don't understand that God's will has to be brought to pass on the earth. And we are to labor and partner together with God. You see, to have authority on planet Earth, you need to have a body. That's why Jesus came and robed himself in flesh so that he could exercise authority and redeem man. Why is that the case? Because God made it a legal issue. God's word came out of his mouth and it would never change. God didn't want a bunch of robots. He wanted sons and daughters. And that requires choice. Remember this, loving someone requires choice. And it's so critically important that you understand in prayer that Jesus is the head of the church, and he said, we are his body. In fact, it says that he set you, when you gave your life to Christ, into his very own body as it pleased him. Corinthians says that the head of the church, Jesus, cannot say to you, the body, I don't need you. Imagine a sermon title, God Needs You, because it's in the Bible. Why? Because as my presence, I couldn't be here physically. If my head was giving the impulses, okay, it's time to get up, it's time to go to church, and my body said, no, not going. Doesn't matter what my head was impulsing or telling my body to do. My body decided not to yield to the dictates of my brain. I would be divided. And the will of my brain would just never come to pass. You are the body of Christ. This is really important. And the authority that you have in Christ has to be exercised in prayer and faith. And if you don't exercise it, listen, it won't happen. Yeah, God can do anything. Yes, he can. And he's chosen to use you and me as a part of his very own body. And there's a reason why most people don't want to pray. What's he is? I mean, come on. I mean, isn't God going to do what he wants anyway? No. The will of God has to be brought into the earth through people that are a part of the body. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers and sisters. When you gave your life to Jesus, he didn't just forgive your sins and throw you over in the corner because he can't stomach you. He literally, the Bible said, when you come to Christ, he that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. One. Can't divide one. I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers and sisters, the scripture said. Jesus says of you. God needs you to yield to him in prayer. It's critical. I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit in the context of prayer. And to understand that when you see the power in this, you'll hunger for it. If not, it'll just be some religious duty that you have to do. And I'm not going to wear the cape the whole time, but stick with me a little bit, okay? I hope it helps you. Sometimes folks need to see that you have to be intentional. How many of y'all know nobody comes to church wearing this unless they're intentional? Right? You have to be that intentional when it comes to exercising your authority. That intentional when it comes to prayer. First, let me talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit in regards to praying for one another. The power of the Holy Spirit in regards to praying for one another. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul actually wrote the epistle, if you will, the letter to the Philippian church when he was in jail for the gospel. He was imprisoned and was being persecuted. And I want you to see what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:19. He said, for I know this, and I'm a confidence, that my imprisonment will turn out for my deliverance through something. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Why did Paul say your prayers were necessary? Because when you pray and exercise authority on this earth as a part of the body of Christ, you bring a supply of something. And what most Christians today have defaulted to is the supply they bring to the world is their opinion, their Facebook posts, their rants, their anger, their rage. And you might be right, that's fine, but it doesn't matter. Can we all agree with one thing, is that no matter how correct you may be in your rantings and your ravings and your Facebook whatevers and Instagram or whatever you use, it's not helping anything. What makes me feel better? No, it doesn't. It's ruining your life. No, it really is. Anger makes you miserable. It makes everybody around you miserable. Well, bless God, it's just the way it is. Well, if that's how you want to live. But actually, we're called to live a different way. And it's very, very important that every one of us understand we're called to bring a supply of what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, when you pray, you're bringing a supply of the Holy Spirit and into my imprisonment. And because of that supply, I'm getting out of here. We have a nation imprisoned. And can I plead with you as a Christian, please, please let go of all of the rage and step into the only thing that gives you power, the only answer you have to this land, to this nation that you love, and to this world, is to yield to God and be used of God to bring the power of God to the earth. Because human beings, there's no human answer to this. When Michelle and I, over, I guess, 8 years ago, we were living in outside of Johannesburg, South Africa, about an hour north to a little town called Rustenburg. And when we were living in South Africa, that's when it was in civil war. And it was a very difficult time in that nation. And I'll say to you, it feels very similar here today. And it matters what the church does. Remember this. This is so, so, so important. So, so important. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope of this world. Jesus and his body is the, listen to me, only hope. It's the only hope this world has. Only hope. Only. Not political. Now you say, isn't it important that people put the right policies in that are righteous for a nation? It's very important. But human beings are not the hope of the world. The head of the church is Jesus. And the love and the power of the gospel that comes through our lives. And the power of God coming into a broken world to rescue it. It's the only hope this nation has. While living in South Africa, it was literally a civil war. And we were traveling on a Sunday morning in June of 1992, it was June 17th, to speak at a church. Now you have to remember, this is before the time of cell phones and GPS. We didn't have a phone in the little thing we stayed in. You couldn't even get us on a phone if you did have a number. And so, you know, we had to communicate through written letters, and when we did call, it was a fortune. And so there were no WhatsApp or whatever, you know, no FaceTime, none of that. So we don't know that overnight, while we're sleeping, something occurred that is known now very commonly in South Africa. It's like people would mark 9/11 here. This is something known throughout the nation historically. It was called the Boyapetong Massacre. Outside of Johannesburg, in what's called the Vaal Triangle, two different factions started. They were fighting, and in the middle of the night, one group came in, and they slaughtered so many people. Women, children, men with machetes, hacked them to death. Now that happens, and now this intense rioting begins. Fires are burning. It's crazy. We don't know this. So we're driving, and the directions took us right through it, but we didn't know. And as we're driving, it's so smoky because everything's on fire. You're like, what is going on? You can't see that far in front of your car. And I'm not the best with directions. Michelle's really good, but she has like this internal GPS. I get lost parking at the mall. I can't remember what door I came in. And I'm looking at these directions. And I'm like, so we pull over to look at the directions. And I can remember in the distance hearing what now knowing was gunfire. And I'm telling you, it is bad. I don't know any of this. We're sitting there in a place that was so unimaginably dangerous that when we finally got to the church, this is a very odd occurrence. It's never happened before or since. We got to the church. The entire church was on the outside of the building waiting for us. And it was like, wow, they're really cordial people. We pull up. And I'll never forget looking at the pastor. When I got out of my car, he was standing against like the side of this kind of pillar thing. And when he knew it was me, his knees kind of buckled a little. But what in the world? He comes, he goes, John, this is what he really, John, no man, I can't believe that we couldn't reach you this morning, eh? That's South African. Anyway, so he said, we sent the police to go find you. The route we took you on was, we thought, oh my God, they're dead. Because you're in this vehicle and you're dead. And I told him where we stopped in the middle of it to relook at the map. He's like, oh my God, Jesus, help. Oh God. And I mean, now here's what you don't know. We found out later that this precious lady that went to my home church, her name's Wilda. She's 90 pounds. Just almost you would see Wilda as like a frail woman. But she's given to prayer. When this was happening, just prior to us happening, she was burdened to pray for Michelle and I. And she prayed for a long period of time until that burden lifted. And when I finally was talking to my mom later, she said, hey, Wilda called and said she was burdened to pray. And when I looked at the time frame, when Wilda was praying out a supply of the Holy Spirit for us, we were in the place where very likely our lives would have ended. That frail woman put on a cape and traveled 8,000 miles and brought the power of God into our environment to protect us. And he said, well, why'd she have to pray? Because God has put the authority in the church. It's critical that you pray. I'm so grateful that she did. Every one of us are called to this kind of prayer. It's so very important. Then I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit in praying together for a moment. That's praying for somebody. But let's talk about the power that comes when you pray united. Very important. And I'll take off Superman's cape right now. But let me just say to you that when it comes to, let me see if I can figure out how to keep this up here so you can just keep remembering to pray. That's all right. I'll just stick it here. It's good. So good. So good to pray. In the book of Acts, they were preaching, Peter and John, and they were arrested for their preaching in the very beginning of the church. And they were threatened, and they were even beaten. And then they were let go. Then they went to their own company, the scripture said, that's what we're doing in these next four services, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. And the Bible said, when they lifted up their voice to God, and they began to pray. And here's what they prayed. Lord, behold their threatenings. And that was the least, that's all they said about the trouble. And then they said this, grant to your servants that with all boldness we might preach your word. Because that's what they were being told not to do. They were told, put that light you have, put it under a bushel. We'll imprison you, we'll kill you. And they said, Lord, look at their threatenings. And grant to your servants that with all boldness we might preach your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders will be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. I want you to notice what they prayed was for power. They prayed for obedience to stand in the middle of the word of God. They prayed for God to bring healing and freedom and signs and wonders to set people free to the very people threatening their life. Here's how the prayer concluded in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, everyone say when. That's something I'd like to be able to say of all of us. When we prayed. Not if we pray. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. People get all worked up if a person shakes. What about the building? I want you to see what happens in these type of prayer meetings. And they, all the prayers, were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. People are filled with a lot of stuff today. Not the person. I'm filled with the Spirit. Yeah, I know a lot of people are, but they leak. They leaked. They're filled with other stuff. Prayer will give you the opportunity to be shaken. Not just literally the building shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke the word of God with boldness. Remember this about boldness. Boldness is simply courage given by God. Boldness is courage that's given by God. That's what they were praying for. You can be courageous on your own, or you can be courageous endowed by God with a boldness, a holy boldness. A holy boldness looks in the face of everything, and it doesn't battle it with physical battles. It battles it in a place where you bring the power of God. And the amazing thing is that the power of God, as you pray it out, it also is the Holy Spirit literally continually will fill you. So this tonight, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to gather here on the campus here at Victory, on the Cranberry campus. For one reason, because we need to come together. And so, but is that important? Yeah, it's very important that we come together and pray. Our nation is desperately in need that God's people pray. And we're going to take these 4 nights and we're going to come together and we're going to have meeting. These meetings are going to be more, almost feel like Holy Spirit kind of services. That's what this was. They were praying and God showed up. I believe when we come to pray, God is going to move and we're going to worship. We're going to pray over certain things. We're going to hear and listen and yield to the person of the Holy Spirit. People are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. And we are going to do this together for 4 nights in a row. That's what we're going to do as a church. And I want to encourage you to please, please do it with us. Please do it with us. Bring your kids. Please bring your kids, bring your teenagers. I don't know if my children want to come. How about parent? Just be a parent and don't ask permission to parent, because God will do something in them in this environment. It's going to be dynamic. We're setting it at about an hour. I'm aware of when the Steelers game starts tonight. So I can't come because of the game. If you don't come, they'll lose. It'll be on you. I'm teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm just letting you know, just so you can bear that burden. Just okay. So I don't know. I'm a bit too busy for this type of activity. Then you're a bit too busy. Because this is the power of God. There is no other resource available to us. And I understand you may have things work, whatever. It's impossible. I get that. But for the most part, would you intentionally put yourself in this position and let God use you? It's so important. And then starting Thursday, we've put together a 21-day prayer devotional that you can go online. It's available to everybody. And I put 21 messages, literally 3 to 4 minutes, to get you into that prayer place each day so that you can develop a lifestyle, a devotional lifestyle, and a devotional prayer life. It's critically, critically, critically important. Then lastly today, I want to talk to you about this. The help of the Holy Spirit in all kinds of prayer. The help of the Holy Spirit in all kinds of prayer. Romans 8:26 says this. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps. Say out loud, helps. Helps. It's the Greek word and it's three parts. Sunanti lambano. Helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with yearnings that can find no words. One translation says, with words that cannot be put into articulate speech. Now he, God, who searches the hearts of men, knows what is the mind of his Spirit. And he will make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There is a place in prayer where you pray even beyond your own understanding. He said there is a weakness that we share in life, and all of us shares it, is that we face things in life that we don't know what to do. Even in prayer, he said, you don't know what to pray for as you ought to pray. It doesn't say we don't know how to pray. We know how to pray. The Bible teaches that. But no matter if you know how, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. God, I'm looking at a jigsaw puzzle turned upside down in a nation. I don't even know where to start to pray. He said, if you'll yield to me, the Holy Spirit himself will move upon you. And you will be able to pray out of your innermost being. Pray in the Spirit, having been filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that these four nights, give you those opportunities. Filled with the Spirit. And he said, when you do, the Holy Spirit will literally pray out through you the divine will of God on the earth or whatever situation is in your life. I want to talk to you just for a moment about the word help. Because if you'll see it, it will attract you to prayer. Because most of us are not attracted to prayer because we feel unqualified. The word help is a three-part word in the Greek. Sun, anti, lambano. The word sun, S-U-N, simply means this. It means to partner with. It's partnership or cooperation or working in conjunction with someone else. Corinthians says this in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that we labor together with God. Say it out loud, together with. We labor together with God. You're God's field, God's building. Remember, the help of the Holy Spirit is that he works with you, not for you. Not in your absence. This is why this prayer is unscriptural. Lord, we just turned it over to you, Jesus. We're done. That's not how he helps you. He comes alongside you in prayer. And we labor, the privilege, think of the privilege. We labor together with God. Amen. Come on, man. God said, I want to work together with you. And you do that in a place of prayer. But the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to come and help you. I'm going to come alongside you. The word anti is just what it sounds like. It means against. It's somebody dangerous or someone against everybody. Where we get the term anti-Christ, against Christ. Anti-social. And then the word lambano simply means this. It means simply to take and seize or make it your own, to take hold of something. So the Holy Spirit says, here's how I'm going to help you. I'm going to come alongside and work with you in prayer and in any endeavor of your life. And I want you to know that there's an attitude I have against what you're facing. And there's also something that I have, a desire that's greater than yours. You see, the position of the Holy Spirit in prayer and in our lives is found in the word soon. His position is that he works and partners with me. He doesn't work in my absence. And he doesn't ask me to go work on my own. Lord, I'm going to go do this for you. I'll be back in a little while. No, no, no. The help of the Holy Spirit is that he works with you. That's his position. Let me tell you the attitude of the Holy Spirit. It's the word anti. It means that he is enraged against your infirmity, your weakness, and your problem. You think you're enraged in what's happening in this nation? Jesus died for humanity. God said, I need me. I need to come alongside you. And my attitude toward what's happening, I'm enraged against this issue. I'm enraged against people for whom my son died, being trapped eternally without God. Please, dear one, please, 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 please hear my heart. There is a heaven and a hell. In a few short years, everyone you know on the earth will be in heaven or be in hell, period. That's real. And that's forever. And God's crying out for his people. I have never in 40 years of ministry seen a prevailing desire to pray among God's people like I'm seeing today, ever. And we can either yield to God's power or the power of the rage and the nonsense. And even if you're right, whatever your position might be, your rantings won't change it. But the power of God will. He said, so my position, I work with you. My attitude is that I'm enraged against this. And then he said, I want to take hold and seize this issue and own it. And I'll deal with it. You ever think there's a problem God looked at and just kind of backed up and said, oh, myself, I don't know what I'm going to do. God's never backed up of anything. Nothing's ever moved him. But when you understand how critical this is, that God wants to use you in this regard, all of that's wonderful and good, except until you understand there's another word that you need to understand in this verse, the word intercession. Because most people don't want to pray because they feel like they're not quite spiritual enough. You know, let me get a few things straight in my life. I got this deal, got that deal. Then I'll, you know, once I kind of get a little closer, then I'll be one of those prayer people. This is so important. The word intercession tells you where God's willing to help you. The word intercession tells you where in your life God is willing to help you. See, our religious backgrounds will think God will only help me on the mountaintop when I'm serving him well, when everything's right, and when I have a good week, month, or year in my relationship with him. But the word intercession in its purest sense in the Greek means this: to fall into the ditch with. To fall into the ditch with. The Holy Spirit said, I want to come into the ditches of your world, into the ditches of your life. And I want to partner together with you. And I'm enraged about what's got you here. And I want to seize it and take hold of it if you will let me. Well, just do it, Lord. I can't. Well, what do you mean I can't? I need your help. What do you mean you need my help? We labor together. Do you understand that works on both sides of the equation? We labor together with God. That means God labors together with us. What if the laborers don't show up? Nothing gets moved. Well, God will do it anyway. No, he won't. He told you he won't. He said, if you'll partner together with me, I'll come alongside you, and I'm enraged against this. And as you trust me, I will move. I will move and seize and take hold. I will take hold of it. I want to fall into the ditch with you. You cannot experience God's grace and power until you acknowledge the fact that you're weak. The whole point of needing the help of the Holy Spirit is that you need help. I don't care where you're at in your life. He said, I want to fall into the ditch with you. That's the heart of the Father. That's why again and again you'll say we exist at Victory to help all people realize God loves them unconditionally. Until you understand that, you'll push away from the Father. Oh, the love of the Father. He said, if you'll yield to me, I want to fall into the ditch with your nation. And I want to rescue the people that are broken. I want to rescue the sins. You know, he'll fall into the ditch with the church, with an individual, if we'll invite him. God doesn't show up without being invited, guys. It's in the scripture. He will fall into the ditch with your addictions. So I'm just so full of shame. I've done so much because of my addiction. And all that shame is doing is killing you further. And then you medicate it more with your addiction. It's a terrible cycle. He said, I want to fall into the ditch with you, while you're drunk, while you're high, while you're addicted to porn. I want to come into that ditch with you. God, how could a holy God come into that ugly ditch? Because I love you. And I'm enraged against this, and I want to set you free. Aren't you glad God's enraged against the problem and not you? Come on, man. That is so important. People, hear my heart. Whether you know God, don't know God. He is not enraged against people. He died for human beings. He's not enraged against those who even oppose him and those even who deny him. He loves them. And he wants you to be an instrument of his hand to rescue. He wants to fall into the ditch with those bound to sexual sin. Those bound to sexual sin that came out of sexual brokenness. We are in such a broken state in this world where Christians are doing one of two things. They're either becoming unloving toward people bound to sin, or they're trying to create a God in their own image and their own likeness and make a new one up that they can create their own right and wrong. God's cool and everything, but this part of God's not cool. So now we're going to say things that God said are not from him, are from him, because I don't want to be offensive. Well, we shouldn't want to be offensive. But can I ask you a simple question? If somebody is 5 years away from falling off of a precipice into a place that will last forever in the regions of the damned, and you don't want to offend them, is it really about them or is it about you? And wanting to be known and liked and understood. You're not going to be understood if you walk in righteousness. But we also shouldn't be known for anything but the heart of Jesus toward brokenness. This world is so broken that broken sexuality, whether it be heterosexual sin, homosexuality, gender issues, it's gotten so crazy that in Congress, they're trying to remove any expressions of gender in the verbiage, making it a rule in the House of Representatives. You can't say man, woman, dad, mom, uncle, aunt. That's a special kind of crazy. So what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Man is made in the image of God, male and female. The denial of gender is the denial of the image of God. That's the issue. But I want to clap louder for the fact that people bound in that darkness need to be rescued from the people who have been taken out of the same dark place. That's what we're here to do. Not to pontificate about the righteousness that I didn't get on my own anyway. The only difference between me and anybody far from God is Jesus. That's it. Oh, the love of God. He wants to fall into the ditch in your areas of fear in your life. Financial, economic issues, anxiety, sickness, impossibilities. Is there anything impossible? Jesus said nothing is impossible to him that believes. This is the kind of prayer life I'm talking to you about. What if you knew and learned how to yield to God in prayer and knew how to do it by grace through faith and truly owned your weaknesses? Not as a badge, but like, hey, God, I need your help here. You've asked me to do this, this, and this. Shucks, I can't do any of it. He said, that's all right. Just get started. I'll come alongside you. I'll help you. How many of you think God is your partner? You're in good shape. How many of you think that's a good deal to have God as your partner, right? Look, man, if you're going to have a partner today, Elon Musk, that's his name, right? Elon Musk, is it Musk? His name went, things leave me. I think he's the richest guy in the world now. Is it Musk? Okay. I don't know, Musk, I'm thinking of perfume or something. I don't know. Elon, who happens to be South African as well. Richest man in the world. Would you have any confidence if you went into a business deal with him? I bet you would. I partnered with Elon, buddy. We're going to tear this up. You get to partner with God. He tears everything up. Tears everything up. But he brings life for what he tears up. As God's people, we should be willing to fall into the ditch with those whose hearts are far from God. Just like he fell into the ditch with us and continues to do. I want to pray over our lives. I want to pray over this week. It's my hope that you'll yield your heart and time to have an understanding that can take you into a place in your life where you will never be without resource again. That you'll learn how to do this. You'll train your family how to do this. And then you'll follow through after the 4 days and just go through that 21-day prayer devotional so that you can learn to have a lifestyle of this kind of power in prayer. I'm so grateful for a God that falls into the ditch with us. Let me pray over you today. As we trust God, our nation, God's people are in overwhelming distress. The only hope of the world is what you heard today. There is no second. There is no one else coming with the cape. No one. The cape's on you, and the head of the church put it on you. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for first every person here, every person Newcastle, every person online under the sound of my voice. I'm praying first specifically, Father God, for those that know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, you are the only hope of this world. And so today we that know you and call you as our Lord and Savior, we humble ourselves. And Father, I ask you to forgive us for where we've made our attention, our energy in areas that really don't fix and help anybody. They just speak to our righteous indignation, if you will, even our self-righteousness, our fears, our angers. Your word declares that the wrath of man never works the righteousness of God. Forgive me where the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart have not pleased you. Lord, help me to speak of those who are far from you the way you see them, as the precious fruit of the earth, not an enemy. Use us to bring life to this world. Holy Spirit, we know we are helpless, but thank you that you are in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you for coming alongside us, falling into this ditch with us, enraged against it, taking, seizing, holding it, and truly delivering people, not out of a political persuasion, but out of darkness into light, out of hell into heaven. Holy Spirit, I pray that over all of us. In these next four services, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, that as much as we are physically able, that we'll come together. And we're going to pray and worship and be filled with your Spirit and full of boldness that comes from heaven. And you're not just doing it here in this one location, that is this church, but you're doing this right now around the world. And we are not going to miss it. We're jumping in. We are going to yield to fully to our God. I pray that over every person today, Lord. As heads remain bowed, eyes closed, if you are here today, you're at Newcastle, you're watching online, and you've never given your life to Jesus. I'm not asking you if you're a good person, if you've gone to church, if you've received the sacrament of your church. All those things are wonderful. None of those things will make you right with God. None of those things will get you from being hellbound to heaven bound. I'm not saying that to frighten you. I'm telling you, Jesus said there is a heaven and there is a hell. And he paid an awful price to rescue me from that end. And all I have to do is to receive what he did for me by faith. That's it. As a gift. And he turns no one away. No one. Don't put your faith in church. Look, I'm a pastor. I love church. Jesus didn't send church. He came himself to die for you. No church can make you right with God. No sacrament of any church. I was baptized when I was a baby. I'm a Christian. That's a sacred thing to your family. Didn't make you a Christian. It was a great day for your family and you got a little wet. That's not making you a Christian. Giving your life to the one who gave his life for you is a choice. And you have to decide to do that. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and those of you that here, whether here at the Cranberry campus, those of you at Newcastle, those online, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ today, willfully and as a choice. Right now, the power of God is moving on your heart, drawing you to the heart of the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. Come to the Father by Jesus. He died for you. He loves you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? We're going to pray the prayer out loud together with you in just a moment. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Right where you're at, here, Newcastle, online. Just would you acknowledge through an uplifted hand, please include me in that prayer. Do it right now. Do it right now. And we're going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Those on the risers that are here at the campus at Cranberry, I can't see you, but if you raised your hand, thank you for that. Now, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Oh, the love of God. Pray it where you hear it. We're going to pray it together with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. So I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt has been canceled. And when I die, I am heaven bound. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.